Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, we give you thanks. We thank you for your loving kindness and for your tender mercies. We thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who knew no sin but became sin unto death on a cross. We thank you, Lord God, and we thank you, Jesus Christ. Every day and every year, we continue to learn more about you. As we study the scriptures, as we read them together, as we teach the children, we learn about this great and rich narrative that you have left for us. We may not understand everything. We may not agree with everything, but Lord God, you are not asking us for agreement. There is no book in the Bible that's called agreement. You're asking us to trust you. And so we trust you, Lord God. Trust you when we don't even understand. Because we have come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in his holy word. You have never failed us yet. And so we thank you. So speak now, Lord, a word of hope. Speak a word of peace and a word of love. And Lord God, I lift up the people of the Ukraine today. They were bombed so badly yesterday. God, and they are holding on by faith, trusting in you, this Christian nation. Have mercy, Lord God, upon them, as you have mercy upon us. In Christ's name, amen. And so today, my sermon title comes out of the text. It says, this is the one. This is the one, because they were looking for the one. This is the one. The writer of John didn't say he is the one. He says, this is the one. And who is the one? Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. The sin of the world. And they would have been waiting for the Messiah to come. Generations, they had heard the prophet speak, hoping to be out of captivity. Different form of captivity, waiting for Jesus to come. And then when he came on the scene, John would say, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And those people around him and those disciples did not fully get it at that moment. The work that he was going to do in 3.5 years, the responsibility, the weight of sin that would be on him. They did not know. Next slide. I guess I could use this, but I'm always so worried about it. And the next slide says, and Jesus turned and saw them following and said, what do you seek? And they said to him, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? They wanted to know where he was staying, because they knew that he was unique, he was special. Where are you staying, Rabbi? Because, you know, they were always looking to the teacher to be taught, to be told. There were many rabbis, Rabboni, Mary Magdalene said at the gate, Rabboni, teacher, where are you staying? Next slide. And Jesus would say, come and see. Come and see. He says, Jesus asked us over and over, what are you looking for? And we respond, where are you staying? And he says, come and see. Come and see, right? Come and see. This is the one. So now I would like to tell you a story. This is a true story. Next slide. I think I might have, I remember now. Mine is a little bit, I have a slide that is, oh, good guy. It's a little bit different. All right. Good guy. I couldn't put it on my overhead here because it's too big. So I wanted to talk to you a little bit about come and see before I get to why Jesus is the one. And so If you notice on that slide, it says Reformation of Baptism and Holy Communion. And I'm going to explain the coming and seeing and what can happen sometimes when you hear the Spirit and listen to the Spirit. And so on last week, we have the bishop convocation where all the pastors, you know, are asked to attend. As many, I think there maybe been 150 of us there. And people brought their children, you know, those who have kids, because it was an indoor park, indoor-outdoor that has activities and, you know, things that you could be in the water and so on. And it was upstate in Monticello, somewhere, 100 and something miles. And so I did not want to go. I said, I have so much to do, you know, not that I shouldn't go. We all have a lot to do, all the pastors. But I have a few things that I wanted to get done. I'm trying to apply for a grant, several things. So I said, you know, I'm not going to drive all the way 114 miles, 120, and then for 2.5 days or 2 days and back again. And then we do have to pay for it, but that's beside the point. We pay for it out of our reimbursable. But I says, I'm not going to go. You know, I really, why? You know, I've gone for many years. But now we are getting to meet in person because of, you know, before we had met for 2 years, we had been doing things on Zoom because of COVID. So then I was talking. So then one of the deists had called me, Denise, who had, Reverend Sears, who had been here. And she says, oh, I looked at the list, Marjorie, are you not coming? And I says, you know. I says, you're probably filled already, and I need a single occupant. She says, no, I'm going to get you in. You should come. We all, you know, try to come, and I'm going to get you in. So I said yes, but at the last minute, I still was changing my mind. Make a long story short, I was speaking to the DS, and I says, I don't want to drive, you know, there by myself. And my colleague that I normally go with, her family is here from, you know, her husband's family is here from Australia, so she was not going. So I'm finding another excuse. But the DS said, call Lydia Han, one of my colleagues, and they'll take you. And so we did go. You just don't know what God is going to do and what God wants you to see. And I could only speak from my experience, and everybody who's there have to speak from their experience. So we did go, and I did go, and we, you know, it was nice to sit and talk, and we did not have an outside speaker because we had made it a criteria that we didn't want to go to a class. We're so tired of hearing how to grow a church, how not to grow a church, how to pay your bills. Sometimes we go and it's a retreat, and we would come back, all we're doing is taking notes. So we had told the bishop, and told the group, that we're not coming if we're going to have to be taught. We need to rest our brain, right? That's they say, Methodists don't know how to do retreats. Well, they say, oh, you're coming to a retreat, and when you go there, there are 4 speakers, right? And then you got to listen to this thing, or you could go to this thing, you get your room. So we did not want to do that. So this time they said we're going to rest and so on and so forth. So it was kind of nice. There were some activities involved, but we didn't have to go. And as the bishop said when he talked, he says, and those of you who want to stay in your room all day long and watch your TV, go ahead. It's up to you. But there were prayer walk. You know, I went on a prayer walk and all of that, which was, you made your choices. And they played games, and some of them went into the water. No, I wouldn't dare do that because all them people, all the children and other people were there. But on the last day, we always do communion. And because it is, we just passed the baptism of the Lord, the bishop was going to do, he wanted, as he preached, he did something with the water, right? But we always do the baptism of the, we always do communion when we are together. Our last meeting is always Holy Communion. And so from the next, you'll go to the next slide. Bishop, when he spoke, he began to speak about Jesus' baptism, and then we were going to do communion afterwards, which run late, after the question and answers, because we had a lot of question people an hour of question and answer. People are asking about what's going to happen to the denomination and, you know, all kinds of things. But I'm not even going to address that, right? We're talking about what the Lord will do in our hearts. So the bishop got up and, you know, he was standing there. And he had the thing of water, the basin of water, the bowl of water. And he said, if you choose, you could come up and reaffirm your baptism. Because we're all baptized. All of us were there. We're Methodist. If we're not baptized, bishop said, is there anybody here not baptized? Because we're all pastors. That would be so funny. Right. He would have gone crazy, I would imagine. Right? That you're not baptized. You're in a Methodist. And then he said, anybody who has been baptized again? He was testing us. Nobody raised their hand because we could only be baptized once, right? So it was a reaffirmation. So the bishop got up and he had the bowl. And people were getting up to go. See the other picture? Pastors all start to line up. And the music was being played. And the music team was fantastic. And they were playing the right kind of music that brought tears to your eyes. Just as I am, you know, and all these things. And we're standing on holy ground. And some pastors were just, you know, the Spirit of the Lord was just so alive. And something amazing happens. We've seen it many times, but people think that pastors, you know, we go to our own transformation and our own connection with the Lord. When we are dry, we get dry and, you know, and overwhelmed and tired and weary. But as they went up, I was going to go up at the end because I was sitting on the outside. And as people were going up, and the bishop, you know, and these were a mixed group, black, white, Korean, right? Because we're pastors from the Catskill all over, you know, six districts. And as it went up, and this was a pastor's wife first, she was online, and the bishop, and the songs are playing, and you could hear people's voices, and some of us are singing, and a couple of them are weeping, you know, just crying by themselves, thinking about their own situation. And as the bishop, he put the water, and then he say a blessing. And she was standing there, and she fell out. Fell out in the spirit. Oh, it gets, she fell out on the ground. Could not, and this was a white lady first. And she fell out on the ground. The Spirit of the Lord was there. She fell out, and as they continued to play, you could see the Spirit. And I knew why the Lord wanted us to go there. It wasn't for all the other things. As that happened, because once somebody falls out, you know, you go towards them to make sure they're not, you know. So some folks got up and went towards her, and I won't give any names, because, you know, but another pastor, she went and she was on her knees going down to help her, and, you know, we start praying over her, and the song is going, and that pastor fell out. Fell out next to her. The Spirit of the Lord was there. Spirit of the Lord, she fell out, and the bishop is still trying to do what he's doing. And when that one fell out, the other pastor who was next to her, she's not praying. So I got over there, and we're not praying. And another pastor who was on her knees next to her, she fell out in the Spirit. One point, there were three, four laying out in the Spirit. Can't come out of it, because, you know, if you see somebody fall out in the Spirit, they can't stop it until it stops. Now, let me tell you something about these pastors. They all got doctorates and PhDs. Who doesn't have a PhD in education and counseling and doctor of ministry and all of that? Fell out. One of them was a DS. And I went over to get her glasses and then begin, because she and I had been on a prayer walk together, and begin to pray over her. And she was just trembling. The Holy Spirit took over in that place that I think if we had stayed longer, because there'd be a whole bunch of people laying out, right? And I was on my knees over her just praying, asking the Lord after it, and people were just shouting. The Holy Spirit took charge, and something mighty happened. And I said afterwards, I said, that's the come and see. We didn't expect what Jesus was going to do. None of us thought that because, you know, we do hang out and have great times and people are watching movies and so. We didn't expect what God was going to do. But God, through the Holy Spirit, moved to that place. Of course, there were no pictures taken and we would not do that. Because we were all on our knees or laying down or weeping or some people were flabbergasted. One guy said to me when I came back, "What is happening? What is happening?" I said, "This is the Holy Spirit. We can't even." And one pastor, he was a deist, would never have done that on our own. Never would have done that on our own. Always, you know, proper, lovely person, laid out on the ground, just trembling. The Spirit of the Lord. When it says, "Come and see," and you go to the Lord and you free yourself up before the Lord, mighty things will happen. And because the songs were being sung, and the guy, you know, who is now going to another church to play, but he's still a Methodist, and he came up, and I've known him for 27 some years, and I said, "You can't leave us," but he's a good musician, and he knows how to choose the songs, and the songs that were just touching our hearts, and you know, that you just usher in the Holy Spirit, just usher in the Spirit of God. I tell you, you looked, and Bishop was just standing there, he had the bowl, and those who came up, and you could see he himself was just caught in it. He couldn't even move, just, you know, and the women were over the other woman, and the day before when we had the early morning service, a couple of guys fell out. It was just as if the Spirit of God. And I said to a colleague last night, when I said I'm going to use this as my reflection story, I said, we have a lot of problems in the Methodist Church, you know, just like any other church, and we're talking about, and you're going to hear a lot more about it, because now we are coming into close into 2024. You're going to hear about the split, not the split, this to that and whatever. But let me tell you something. No matter what happens, the Lord showed us on last week, if we had forgotten a little bit, that he's still with us. No matter where, what side of the split you're on, whether, because there were people there who were theological, traditional and conservatives, theological progressives, theological liberals. We were all there. When we come together, we may disagree when we sit at tables and we talk, but certainly when we come to something like that, we try not to the best, unless somebody gets up and asks the bishop a question. Somebody did, and you know, I just changed the subject and asked the bishop something else, because we really didn't come there to debate that. But God was showing us he's going to be with the traditionalists, the conservatives. He's going to be with the liberals. He's going to be with the progressive, if we allow ourselves what? To follow him and to seek him. Right? He's not interested in, none of that is written in the Bible. The key is to build a relation to Jesus Christ and to avail ourselves to the Spirit. You see, when the Spirit is there, you know, and it's so amazing, because we went on a prayer walk the day before, and it was one of the deists who fell out. She and I and two other pastors, was a small prayer. We had the prayer walk, and we were reading and walking. You know, it's called a prayer walk. Very good exercise to do, not physical, but spiritual and also physical. And then they asked me to close out in prayer. And I says, when I was praying, she reminded me, I says, "Holy Spirit, could you just come anew upon us? Come anew upon us." Who would have thought? We're all overwhelmed by the move of the Spirit, because none of those people wanted to be there, to be in that place. Our Lord is like that. And so we came back from that place feeling renewed. Not renewed because we are physically feeling better, but our spirit has been renewed because we know that Jesus is still with us. So now, the next slide. And I'm going to send the bishop a note. Him and I are supposed to have lunch, and so I'm going to send him a note concerning some of my thoughts and how the Lord used him to do that little baptism and how that would touch the lives of people. Amen. And so the question is, what does it mean that Jesus is the Lamb of God? What does it mean? I'm just going to give you some points. Next slide. What does it mean that Jesus is the Lamb of God? You see, first point, the sacrifice of lambs played a very important role in Jewish religious life and sacrificial system, right? Remember that we are Judeo-Christian faith. So the sacrifice of lamb was important to the Jewish faith, right? To Old Testament theology, right? Let's look in the Old Testament. You don't have to look, I'm just telling you, of the Old Testament book of Leviticus. And we started with Exodus, right? Exodus story. And so we see that when, you know, so that's when Jesus referred to John the Baptist as the Lamb of God, is because he was a Jewish young man and he was referring back to something else, right? That the Lamb, Jesus would now become that Lamb of God once and for all. Amen? Next slide. You see, the Passover feast, point two, was one of the main Jewish holidays and a celebration in remembrance of God's deliverance of the Israelites from the bondage in Egypt. Right? In summary, remember when the children of Israel were coming out of Egyptian bondage? The Lord would tell them what? To take the lamb, right? Sacrifice the lamb, take the blood, and put it on the what? The doorpost. So when the angel of death passed them, he would pass over because they would be covered by the blood of the lamb. Right? They'd be covered by the blood of the lamb. So that's part of our heritage, right? You know, covered by the blood of the lamb, right? That's the Passover feast. You see, in fact, the slaying of the Passover lamb and the applying of blood on the doorpost of the house is Exodus 12, 11 to 13, is a beautiful picture of Christ's atoning work on the cross. Because Christ is going to take that up. Next slide. Another important sacrifice involving lambs was the daily sacrifice at the temple in Jerusalem. Every morning and evening, a lamb was sacrificed in the temple for the sins of the people. So they would go and they would sacrifice the lamb and they would pray to Yahweh for the forgiveness of the sins of the people. So the lamb, the story of the lamb, when he says, "There goes, behold, the Lamb of God," John the Baptist knew what? That the lamb that they would use, all those lambs, all those years, would be replaced by the one who was coming. This was the one who would now replace the lamb, the animal lamb. That he would replace him once and for all. This may be my last slide. Second to last, I don't know. Number four, it is through his death on the cross as God's perfect sacrifice for sin and his resurrection 3 days later that we can now have an eternal life if we believe in him. So Jesus would now replace the Passover lamb once and for all. The night before he was crucified, when he had the Last Supper with his disciples, right? And he told them this, right? When he said, "This is my body given for you," and he broke it, they would no longer need a lamb, because the next day he would be crucified. The blood that would shed from his body, from his side, would be the blood that would cover us forever and ever if we believe in him. Right? We don't need a lamb anymore, the songwriter says. Right? We don't need a blood on the door. Jesus has done it. So John knew it. John knew that he had now become, here's a lamb that is going to replace all the prior lambs once and for all. That's why he's the Lamb of God. Next slide. And friends, my last point here, the fact that God himself has provided the offering that atones for our sin is part of the glorious good news of the gospel that is so clearly declared in 1 Peter 1, 18-21. I did not put it all on the slides, but that he would replace. That's the difference between us and the Jewish faith. Those who are truly practicing their faith, our Jewish brothers and sisters, that they are still using that lamb at their Passover meal. They still use the lamb for the atonement, right? And when they go to the synagogue, they're using the lamb for the atonement of sins. When they do that, Yom Kippur, Susan? When they have the Day of Atonement, right? Yom Kippur, and when they fast and they're atoning for their sins, we don't have to do that. Because Jesus was crucified for us. He became the Lamb of God, that takes away the sin of the world. All of our sins, wonders once and for all, and all we have to do is to ask for forgiveness. Accept him as our Lord and Savior, and ask for forgiveness. What a blessing we have today, right? And John reminds us, and that's why, When John says, here comes the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And they began to see, and they says, where did he go, Rabbi? And he says, come and see. And one of the other writers says, and they stayed with him all day and wouldn't leave. And then the disciples says, this is the one. When they said in the text, this is the one. That means this is the one that we have been waiting for. Generations have been waiting for. The prophets had spoken about. Isaiah had spoken about it. We see it in the text this week. And this is the one that Paul speaks about in Corinthians this week. He is the one, and he's the one that I'm speaking about now. And he's already told me, all I want you to do is to preach my gospel. Preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. In season and out of season, let nobody dissuade you. You stand boldly and you preach that I am the one that was crucified. And that's the only one I know, friends, who can save your life and save my life. And am I going to explain every single thing the Bible says to you? No, you better get on your knees and ask God to do that for you. Because that's how I have to do it. But I will explain to you what I know and what he has revealed to me. And he is the Lamb of God. And so, as it says here, behold, the Lamb of God. And Jesus says, come, follow me. It's my last slide. Come, follow me. And they followed him. And we too, that call is for us. That call is for our children. And when we pray and they're not following Jesus, we get on our knees and says, Lord, let my children, let them follow you. I'm praying, Lord God, that they will come to know you and to follow you, Lord God. So when we get to eternity, we'll be there together. Follow me, because he is the Lamb of God. And so the song says, your only son, no sin to hide, but you have sent him from your side to walk upon that guilty side and to become the Lamb of God. Right? I mean, I see Nancy reciting it. Your gift of love they crucified. They laughed and scorned him as he died. The humble king they named a fraud and sacrificed the Lamb of God. O Lamb of God! Sweet Lamb of God, I love the holy Lamb of God. Does anybody love him this morning? Oh, wash me in his precious blood, my Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. I was so lost, I should have died. But you have brought me to your side to be led by your staff and rod and to be called a Lamb of God. Oh, Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love that holy Lamb of God. Oh, wash me in his precious blood, my Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. I give you Jesus, the Lamb of God. Amen. Amen and amen. Our Savior, our Lord.